This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
This is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and Christmas is but 5 days away. Again, we're going to go over our lectionary passages, because most of the time, we merely read them or follow along in the worship, but never bother with any of these passages and for why they are appropriate for the particular Sunday we're on. To start out, we're going to read the Romans passage. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God to advance the obedience of faith among the Gentiles. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. So, this is a passage of Scripture, but what kind of passage of Scripture is this? What would you call this? A doxology? Yeah, yep, that's one. It is that, but what else? What's the technical term for what this passage would be? Well, it is good news, for sure. It's a benediction. And it's a blessing. We'll talk more about this one in a few minutes, but first let's cover the other two passages. So we have 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 11, verse 16. Who knows, in ultimate terms, what this passage ultimately teaches us? Is it a prophetic word?
Yeah.
And ultimately, who is being prophesied in this passage?
Jesus.
Good. First of all, it is the record of Nathan the prophet's visit to David, and for the short term, it tells of David's immediate heir, the one who will be king immediately after him. But again, there is a deeper meaning to this passage. It is a messianic prophecy. We see this with the key words, "Your house and kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever." Now, we obviously know that David was not going to be king forever, and that his line of people who would follow him would probably, in human terms, not be king forever. But so, there is that ultimate meaning. The Lord is prophesying through Nathan to David that there will be an heir of his who will reign forever. And then there are the words, "He is the one who will build a house for my name." Well, in temporal terms at that time, Nathan the prophet's prophecy was referring to the temple that Solomon would build. But that ultimate heir of David would build the eternal temple, the one that will live forever inside of his people and the one that will be forever in the kingdom of heaven. That's the temple that will last forever. Now, then we have the message or the passage from the Gospel of Luke. So Gabriel the archangel visits Mary and basically blows her mind at first with the greetings, "Favored woman, the Lord is with you." Favored woman? Mary is in fact about 14 or 15 years old and was, according to the times, of marrying age. But here's an angel from heaven saying she's a favored woman. Then Gabriel tells her not to be afraid. And then he tells her what her immediate and forever future was going to be. Folks, if there was ever a moment in time that changed a person's life forever, this would be one. Say, do you agree that Mary's life was changed forever from that point on? Yeah, I would say so. Now, for that matter, the message Gabriel brought to this young lady changed the course of all human history forever, did it not? I'd say so. The message wasn't just, "Hey, you're going to have a baby." This was, "You're chosen by the Father in heaven to bear the baby who will be the Messiah, the Savior of the human race." How would you like to have that message delivered to you one morning? You've had your cup of coffee and you're sitting down chilling, and suddenly an angel tells you, hey, you're going to change the course of history. Would that kind of freak you out? Would that make you want to run and hide? But remember who you'd be hiding from. And there's no hiding from him. So forget it. Just go ahead and say, okay. Now, there's something interesting about this. Let's make some comparisons. How did Moses, Gideon, and at first King Saul, and then the prophet Jeremiah, respond in their pieces of dialogue to the Lord when he told them what he wanted them to do? What did they do? Well, Moses said, I can't do that. I've got a speech impediment. Gideon said, I can't do that because we're the peasants in the village. Or something like that, because he said, I'm the least in my clan, and my clan is the least in all of Israel. And then Jeremiah complained and said, I'm too young. When Saul was told he was going to be a king, he ran and hid in the baggage train. And then there were times when Elijah ran away saying, God, I can't do this anymore. Now, Mary's only question was biologically related, because she knew about the human thing and said, now how am I going to have a baby? She probably didn't do it quite like that. But she said, how is this going to happen? There's something missing in this equation here. Then Gabriel says, hey, chill. The Holy Spirit's going to take care of it. But then how does Mary respond so differently than all of those fellows we were just talking about? She said, be it done to me according to your word. Or in other words, in today's parlance, I'm all in. I'm cool with this. So she bears Jesus, and the rest, of course, is, praise the Lord, history, past, present, and future. So now let's look at the Romans passage, and let's read it all together out loud. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God, to advance the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. Amen. So again, this is a benediction. But here's why we're going to talk about this passage. None of the things in the Roman passage would be possible if it were not for the fulfillment of these other two scripture passages we read today. Think about that. If Jesus had not been born, none of this would matter. That would all just be merely religious jargon that we would recite in a worship service that we would concoct for ourselves and just kind of cross our fingers and hope everything goes okay. If those other two passages had not been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So, let's go through it. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, he is able to strengthen us in our lives and give us strength when we need it. And he's able to give us physical strength, emotional strength, and spiritual strength. And this strength is because this message is the only one that saves. Honestly, for this school year, with a constantly changing series of situations and circumstances, and as much as I love it, I've had to ask the Lord for his strength to continue, because you never know from one day to the next whether you're going to be at home on a computer or in the classroom or shuffling around in the building somewhere so they can do a deep cleaning on the rooms or whatever. And it is trying on you when you don't know from one day to the next where you're going to be working. Then Paul says the most curious thing, my gospel. Now, at first we think that sounds kind of pompous. Who does he think he is saying that's his gospel? It doesn't belong to him. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, and it belongs to the Lord. Yes, it does. But no, Paul, in his own way, is saying he has taken ownership of the gospel and adopted it as his way of life, and his principal reason for being. Without the message of Jesus, Paul knew he was nothing. So he's, in the right sort of a way, again taking ownership of that message. My gospel. And the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept silent for long ages. Paul tells us here that it's the proclamation about Jesus Christ who is the message. He's the central figure of all of this. This is a message we need to bury deep inside our souls. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. And without Christ and the words of the gospel, no matter how profound we may think they sound, are again just religious jargon. Without Jesus, who is the message, again, all of that's meaningless. Everybody understand? If there had been no Jesus, none of that would be true. Without him, we have no life. Without him, we have no eternal future. And without him, we have no blessings. But then he says, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures according to the command of the eternal God. The scriptures are the vehicle and the conduit to tell us the truth of the gospel. These are the glorious scriptures that were given to us through Moses and all of those prophets, many of whom who wrote literally with a knife at their throats or under horrible duress. These are the scriptures written down by the apostles, some of whom were in prison when they wrote and others were in exile. And what this means is that the precious Bible we have the blessing of holding in our hands is the very Word of God breathed out by His Holy Spirit. This Bible is pure revelation from the Lord Himself. And with Paul telling us that they're according to the command of the eternal God, he's telling us they're inspired and given at His holy direction. Not one word in this book is unnecessary. Not one word in here is useless or without purpose. And the last lines that speak specifically to us, to the obedience of faith among the Gentiles, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. This whole letter he wrote to the Romans, and indeed the whole message of Christ, is to give us faith. It's to build our faith. It's to craft faith in us, even when we think our faith is falling or failing. The Gentiles, well, that's all of us. Paul lets us know that the defining life-giving message is available to us too. It is a universal message available to everyone. And we can rest easy because Paul lets us know in those last words that we can appropriate for ourselves and possess in our hearts the only message that saves, given to us by the only God. And we have all of these things: life, purpose, meaning, definition, hope, peace, salvation, supernatural truth, and a life worth living if we have come to Christ. And for that, we should indeed give Him glory, praise, worship, adoration, and our words spoken in such a way as to be fit for a king forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.